This Sisterhood Through Grief podcast is comprised of a group of women who have lost their spouses and bonded during their time in a grief support group. We are not licensed therapists. Rather, we have endured and survived the journey of grief. During our podcast, we will share our stories of how we suffered, what we encountered and conquered during our journeys, and impart raw truths about grieving. As we learned in our group support, we will speak from the I space and always offer non-judgmental support and understanding to each other. We hope to offer our listeners compassionate support by providing empathy and validating one's grief. Knowing you are not alone and having someone who can say, "I know how you feel," will be our gift to our listeners to promote healing, offer hope, and ease pain. We always open our podcast by lighting a three-wick candle and reciting a short verse. So let me begin. This first wick is for the past and where we have been. This second wick is for the present and where we are now. This third wick is for the future and where we hope to be. This Sisterhood Through Grief episode 19, Perspectives on Losing Your Wife, is hosted by Amy and Christina. We welcome our first male guest, Jan. Before we speak with Jan, I want to mention a couple of notions about grief. First, many grief counselors or researchers say that people are more likely to grieve in a manner that resembles their way of dealing with life in general. And second, grief is deeply personal and cannot be easily generalized from person to person. But the masculine way of grieving tends to differ from the feminine way of grieving. This being said, we want to acknowledge that while women are more likely to share our feelings and express what we are feeling, men tend to be inward thinkers and think of the situation, not the emotional responses. So, Jan, we understand this may be uncomfortable for you and appreciate your willingness to talk with us on this podcast.
Oh, thank you. So, you know, my journey in this started when my wife, Hillary, got sick with lymphoma. And she was sick for a year before she passed. And that was a transition period in our life because I have three children and my youngest was born just about the time she was diagnosed. So, you know, there was a lot going on in our family. So it was a difficult time, you know, through the process of chemotherapy and all the treatments that she went through, my parents moved in with us. We had a lot of support in our community from the church and friends in the community to help out during that period of time and after she passed as well. So it was a difficult year for sure. And the year after that was, you know, being a father of three small children, you know, I focused on working with them and helping them get through the process too. So, you know, in some respects, in the early period of time, I didn't have much support other than my parents being with me, which was a godsend. I focused more on taking care of my kids, making sure that they were happy, and keeping them connected to Hillary. They were young. I one, 3 and 5 years old, but still they had some memories. So I always wanted to share with them the things that we remember, that they remembered, to try to keep it alive in their life. So that was the early period of time. You know, being a father, you focus on taking care of your children, focus on keeping them connected. And, you know, from there, we joined Hearts and Hope, which was a wonderful organization that really, what it did for me, it helped the kids because they had a lot of support from family, friends, and myself in helping deal with what they were going through. But I think Hearts and Hope really had a big impact on me to give me that support. There were very few men in there, but it really helped me being there. So, you know, I really believe that organizations like Hearts and Hope are a key to helping with this process of grieving, helping with men in particular. I believe that's a very strong way for us to get connected to dealing with the grief on our own.
How did you? We had to be strong. And so I know for a man, it's almost like you have to be stronger. And, right. You know, women, it's okay to cry, but men, you know, it's okay. But I think you probably almost have more pressure on you trying to raise the kids and be a mother and a father. And I mean, you still got to keep food on the table. So you had to go to work. And that's I'm right. sure you couldn't just, you know, take a moment. You had at Hearts and Hope, but I know, like, we felt we could just go and, like, just let it go. And we felt normal, or, you know, we could identify with everyone in there. And then you felt safe to cry or be angry or, you know, whatever you were feeling. And then you know, the kids were in a safe spot too. Like they were with you, but they were also getting help that they needed there.
Right. Right. And, you know, being the man, maybe not cry, but maybe the process of discussing gives you those thoughts. So later on, when you do have time, you can process it. So it's very important.
How did you get, how did you decide to seek out group support?
I was trying to think about that earlier, how I got connected to Hearts and Hope. It may have been the church told me about the organization. And I think one of the people there called us and talked to us about it.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I don't have a real clear recollection of how I got that.
And so you went for a couple years, right? Did you go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Probably, I think, 3 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I kind of came in, you brought me as you were kind of going out and I was coming in. And Yeah, if it wasn't for you, I don't think I would have known about it.
Right. Yeah. No, it was good. It was a time to get away from my parents with the kids and focus, because we would go and have dinner. You know, sometimes we'd stop afterwards and have an ice cream or whatnot.
Yeah.
So it was really our time. You know, we're all busy. And yes, I was, you know, running a business on my own. So it was difficult. And that always seemed to be the little oasis away from life for us. So it was really, really beneficial for us.
And did you feel comfortable? Because in a group setting, to express yourself, or?
Well, I mean, it was more difficult at first, but there wasn't pressure to say too much if you wanted. In the earlier times, if you didn't really want to participate other than just listening, that was perfectly fine. So there was no pressure. I never felt pressure to give my feelings. But, you know, the longer you're there and you have new people coming in and you see that, you start feeling like, oh, I do have something that I can share with them. And it just gets you involved in it. So I think that's just a natural transition by sticking with it. And you kind of evolve into helping and also getting the support.
So was your group support basically where you discussed your situation? Because, you know, they say that men tend to not tell their story or tell, you know, express what's going on in their life. You know, women, we tell everyone.
Right.
Our feelings are out there, you know, we're crying to everyone.
Right.
But men, I've talked to, you know, friends who have lost wives. And one of the things I've heard, you know, again and again, is that men don't have the same support system that women tend to have. You know, it's a social thing, right? And it's and so you're really fortunate to have had, you know, we're all very fortunate to have had Hearts and Hope. But I'm just trying to, you know, if a man doesn't have Hearts and Hope, what does that look like?
Right, right. We did get some help from the church. They were very involved with us as well. And I could have gotten more involved in that. But Hearts and Hope seemed to be the best for my kids. And it worked out well for me. So we continued on with that.
And like Jan's an avid like swimmer and cyclist. So you had that outlet with your parents helping with the kids where you could kind of escape every once in a while and
yes.
Good workout.
Very, very beneficial. Yes.
Was there anything else that helped you?
You know, just having my parents there, I think, was the best. You know, I tried to give them breaks too, because we were raising, you know, a 1 to 3 year old through all of that. So, you know, it's funny because Francesca's my youngest and she was one. And my dad really, he just loved her to death. We just lost my dad a few months ago, And Francesca was just his love all the way through from the beginning. So it was really good. Yeah, very special. I think they were wonderful in helping, and it was a wonderful experience for them.
I know I couldn't have done it without my parents either. They stepped right in. And
yes, the family support was
amazing. And the bonds that my parents had with my kids really, really helped them grow and feel secure. Yeah. Sometimes I was a mess sometimes. You know, my parents were like stable and here and, you know, rational, more rational than me sometimes. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, my dad was a rock. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Marines. So he always holds the family together.
Yeah. He was a neat guy. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pillar of the family.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that must have been hard, you know, I mean, because you were in the same situation as pillar of the family for your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how was that, you know, after your loss? What did you do? How did you, you know, you say you stay strong. Women say we are, you know, yes, we all show our strength. But also, I think, like I said, the women, we have all talked about how we had our breakdowns or cry and. But you're saying that you didn't really have that outlet.
I would say I'm probably more of an internal thinker.
Right.
So I think a lot of what I receive, I'm probably not outwardly emotional at all. I am at times, but I think just me thinking it through and having the outlet of being able to listen to other people and being involved in that really helped me keep my mind focused on what I needed to do and where I needed to go, and not only with the kids, but in life.
Yeah, and I know his kids, and they're all, I mean, very respectable, smart, yeah. I mean, wonderful, wonderful kids who have great, you know, careers right now. And
yeah, I'm very proud of
them. I mean, yeah, amazing. Definitely did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Very stable and, yeah, good kids. You get there, you know, we all take a different path. It's not the path that we think, but
right. You
know, you raised your kids. And I mean, I never heard him complain or anything. He just always had a smile on his face. Always, you know, not only is he raising his kids, but he has like, you know, all of our kids too.
Yes.
Like my kids camping.
I mean,
yeah, the more the merrier. And spending time, like quality time with others, you know.
Right. Well, that's just the beginning of the story. I mean, there's so much beyond that, that really, when you look back on it, I'm very proud of the ups and the downs and everything, but we all got through it together. I'm very proud of that.
No, you've done an amazing, amazing job.
Thank you.
I know it's not easy. So for any advice to other men, like maybe in your position, you know, 20 something years ago with, you know, lost a spouse and they have these young kids, is any word of advice to them?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for me, I've always wanted to be connected to somebody. So when I lost Hillary, that's something that was very difficult for me, but I wanted that again. You know, we had a wonderful relationship and a wonderful life together. So, you know, in time, a few years later, I did feel like finding somebody, and I did. And that was a wonderful experience as well. The funny thing is she had three kids as well. And so we got married and we raised six kids together, and they all did a wonderful work together. It was certainly a big transition having three kids to six kids in the house, but I wouldn't trade that for anything. I really wouldn't. I wanted to be connected to another person and raise my kids.
Rightfully so.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And you did. You guys both raised those kids as your own, you know?
Yes.
Very fair.
Yeah.
And they're still all very close.
Yeah. And they're all doing great too. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It had to be a good environment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Very stable, good, loved, and, you know, taken care of.
Yeah.
So when you were ready to date, I would say, I think for men and women, once again, it's a little different. Like women get all like crazed about it. So,
right.
You know, it was just, you know, when the thought of dating was like, oh my God, can I do this? Do you remember like Was it just something like, okay, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm going to do?
Right. Well, this was a family friend, so I knew her.
Oh, okay.
And knew the kids. My kids played with them often anyway, so it was easy to fall into that. It just flowed right for me. It flowed perfectly in my life and with the kids.
So you knew it was right, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I think like for women dating and they're like widow, that's like a, I was like, no, stay away. But I think for men, it's probably not appealing, but I don't think that women aren't afraid of, you know, dating a man who's lost his wife. And that's
right.
You know,
it might be the other way for some people.
Mm-hmm. Where they can see the care and the compassion behind the man raising his kids and, you know, mm-hmm. what a great, wholesome person he is to be able to do yeah. that, you know.
Right. So there's one of the characteristics of, you know, I was reading before we had this podcast, I was looking up what they say the differences of men versus women in grieving. And, you know, obviously you would think there'd be differences, but one of the things that they said is men tend to go into the fix-it stage, whereas women, I think we linger longer. But would you say you sort of had that feeling like you needed to fix your, you know, I'm ready to fix the family, like I need to be a family again?
Yeah, I think that was part of it, maybe the fix-it drive in me. But I believe that it's more, you know, I coveted the family environment that I had and wanted that again. And it was, you know, 100% positive. We had a great relationship. And, you know, when you have that, you want it again. So I don't think you can shy away from that. It's just something that it's a yearning that you want yeah. when you've had something good. You want to continue with that.
No, I think you said like the connection with another person and
yes.
someone to love and to love you and
right.
yeah, go through life. And I think we all want yeah. that.
You know, I think sometimes with women, and speaking for myself maybe, is that I think I had a lot of girlfriends and, you know, that I could talk to and got that support. Mm-hmm. And so I was worrying about the kids. I wasn't necessarily thinking about a relationship for myself. I was still, you know, it wasn't about a fix it for me. It was about getting through my grief and talking it out and crying it out and, mm-hmm. you know, all the emotional baggage that came with the loss. And I think that's, you know, good or bad. It's for men, you know, you guys, just maybe the way you guys are built is just that, you know, you have that, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to move on. Not even move on. I'm going to
right.
fix this. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to get on with life. And you guys do it, right? And it's some, you know, it's that strength. It's that I don't need to dwell on this and talk it, you know, go through it a million ways and tell a million people. And I guess maybe you guys don't, or, you know, maybe you don't sit in it as long as women tend to do, which is tough on the grieving, you know, because people will say, oh, men, you know, we've said it in group. Oh, men move through their grief so much quicker. But I think it's just the way you got, you know, it's processed. It's not a good or a bad. It's not a right or a wrong.
Right.
It's just men, you know, you think I'm going to fix it. I'm going to take control of this situation. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to get on with my life and I'm going to, you know, keep going forward.
Right.
You know,
but you always took like you took their mom, Hillary's memory all the way
yes.
through. I mean, you still, right. you know.
We do it all the time. Every time yeah. we get together, somebody's talking about her and what she did and, you know, telling stories. So it's, maybe men move through the process faster than women, but I think that part of that is sometimes the grief gets left behind that may rear its ugly head down the road. You know, so I think that the real thing is dealing with it in your own mind and in what you believe is really important to make sure that you are getting through grief your way, because everybody goes through it different. Everybody right. needs to process it different. And I do think that as a man, being able to talk it through, or even just being around the group and hearing other people talk it through, all of that has benefit, because it, in your mind, sets up what you should be thinking and working through.
I think now as you're, I know for me, as my kids are getting older, they have more questions about their dad, and mm-hmm. as they're, you know, becoming men and,
right.
you know, moving on in their life towards marriage and families, you know, right. it's interesting how they come back now. And mm-hmm. it's been good, because I would teach them a little part all the way through, you know, right. I kept the memory alive, maybe too much alive sometimes, I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting to see how they want to get back in touch. And then it's kind of hard to go back there too, but it's a, you know, they're at an right. age where they can understand it, and they want to know who their, you know, yeah. their mother or their father was.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, it's important to always, through the rest of your life and their life, to share stories of that person, because they definitely have questions. You can't cover everything with them that they may know, that you know about Hillary, that they just don't know everything. So, you know, my middle child is having a baby soon. I'm going to be a grandpa.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. But, you know, just in the discussions with her, I'm able to share stuff every time I see her, every time I talk to her about stuff that Hillary went through in her pregnancies and everything. Mm-hmm. So being open to being able to talk to your family and others, whether you're a man or a woman, I think you need to learn that, because that helps not only your grief, but it helps the grief of other people who were connected with that person too.
That is really important. Just keeping the memory alive and,
yes,
you know, always talking about, you know, the stories and the memories. It's so important.
Yeah. Oh, you made green beans. She loved green. Your mom loved green yeah. beans. It can be the littlest things. Brings a smile to their face.
Yeah, because there's some mannerisms that are just, I mean, our kids were all too young to learn anything from their, right. you know, their parent that passed away. But right. there's just some things that are genetic, yeah. genetic inside them that they do. I'm like, oh my gosh, your dad did yeah. that. Like,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And so it helps us too. Like, we find comfort in that too, I think.
Absolutely.
Seeing them grow.
Yeah.
Do anything special, like once a year, anything around for Hillary? Like,
I do, but the kids primarily, they want to go out to the cemetery periodically, and they say, "Hey, Dad, you want to come?" "Yep, well, let's go out." You
know, so that's nice.
They drive it a lot. They're all pretty local here, mm-hmm. so yes, that happens.
Yeah, I guess you know. What about like men, like your age? I don't know at this point if they lost a wife at your age, do you think any advice even for them? You know, our grief, you know, we've had a lot of time to heal and get through right. it. But I mean, as we get older, there's, I think people tune into us now who've just recently lost a partner.
Right.
And
right. Well, I think that, you know, I just lived through this, because about 6 months ago, my wife and I moved in with my parents because my dad was declining. So we've been with him through his passing. So I'm a witness to what my mother
yeah.
is going through.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very strong woman, but it probably is one of those areas that's often overlooked. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's 91 years old, but still the grieving is there. We talk to her regularly. She's very strong, and she lived with him for 63 years.
That's a long time.
So, you know, I definitely witnessed that. This is something that I think that her strength is church, and she's still on the choir, still singing in the choir at
amazing.
91.
Yeah.
So, and she drives there all by herself. She's
amazing.
She goes and works out every single day. She's doing great. But yeah, it's difficult for her. I do think she gets some help from her close friends and the church in particular.
And probably comfort knowing that you know how she feels. You know, I think
yes.
some of us, when we're grieving, especially when we're younger, not many people know how we feel because they haven't been through it. And I think sometimes that's like the hardest part of, you know, but your mom, you being there, you know, she knows. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, certainly I think, you know, overall, the community around you finds it difficult to deal with your loss. You know, the more awareness we can bring to it to make sure that people aren't forgotten, you know, and grieve in silence instead of being able to share some of the things that we got to share, I think is important.
Thank you for coming on and speaking with us, Ken. I know
you're welcome.
Yes,
it's not easy to do, but I know you'll give a lot of people comfort and some foresight
Anytime.
Guidance.
Yeah, happy to help.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's very nice. Thank you to our listeners. And remember, you can always send us a message on sisterhoodthroughgrief@gmail.com, or we're on Instagram and Facebook at Sisterhood Through Grief. And we just send everyone lots of strength and, you know, hope that we're providing you hope by offering you these discussions. Thank you.